the rap.
Get the guap, spin the rack on your nanny.
Spin the rack.
Come through, give a dab to your nanny. If you're really feeling good, spin the track for your nanny.
Not bad, is it? That is the music of New York's new mayor, Zohran Mamdani, who had a short career as a rap artist before turning to politics. Last night, the 34-year-old cricket lover, who was born in Uganda, became the first Muslim to be elected mayor of New York City. He is a democratic socialist and the youngest person in more than a century to hold that office. In his victory speech, he said, "In this moment of political darkness, New York will be the light." And he thanked New Yorkers for delivering him victory.
New York, tonight you have delivered a mandate for change, a mandate for a new kind of politics, a mandate for a city we can afford, and a mandate for a government that delivers exactly that.
Mamdani also had this message for the city's wealthy and for its most famous former resident, the US President Donald Trump.
And if we embrace this brave new course, rather than fleeing from it, we can respond to oligarchy and authoritarianism with the strength it fears, not the appeasement it craves. After all, if anyone can show a nation betrayed by Donald Trump how to defeat him, it is the city that gave rise to him. And if there is any way to terrify a despot, it is by dismantling the very conditions that allowed him to accumulate power. This is not only how we stop Trump, it's how we stop the next one. So Donald Trump, since I know you're watching, I have four words for you. Turn the volume up.
Let's talk now to Larry Donnelly, political analyst, law lecturer at the University of Galway and columnist with thejournal.ie. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Justin.
It's very reminiscent of Barack Obama there, isn't it? I mean, the rhetoric from a most unlikely mayor of New York City, a backbench state assemblyman, a self-proclaimed democratic socialist, a Ugandan-born Muslim, a cricketer, a 34-year-old. How did Zohran Mamdani defy expectations to win this contest in New York?
Well, first, let me say Zohran Mamdani and his team ran an amazing campaign. I mean, as you say, he came from nowhere. He literally was an unknown person, but he tapped into something very deep. I think he met the moment in New York City. And I think to the fore in all of that was his affordability agenda. Anyone who's been to New York City or indeed any other part of the United States will know how expensive it is. I think a lot of the promises that he made during the campaign to New Yorkers, a lot of his agenda, I think they went down very well. Now, whether he can deliver on them is another thing altogether. But, you know, as has been often said, Andrew Cuomo's own father's line about campaigning in poetry and governing in prose comes to mind. So we'll see on that space. More broadly speaking, though, you mentioned Barack Obama. I'm just not so sure that what I heard in that speech last night is on the same level as Obama in terms of here's somebody who just won the election. And instead of being, I suppose, conciliatory, reaching out to perhaps the people who voted for Andrew Cuomo, he was as combative as ever. And I'm just not sure about that.
And where do you think that is going then? I mean, he was combative, as you say, in relation to Cuomo. And also, I mean, he was really going head to head with Donald Trump.
Well, the only sucker that I think Republicans can derive from last night, which was a very good night for Democrats, not just in New York City, but also in places like New Jersey and Virginia, the only potential thing they can say is this guy might be a useful bogeyman for us in middle America. So while he met the moment in New York, I'm just not so sure how well Zohran Mamdani will go down in middle America, even allowing for the fact that his affordability agenda and some of the things he's saying on that will, I think, go down well. But I'm just wondering, some of the messaging, some of the rhetoric there in the speech last night, does that tell the tale of what lies ahead? Watch that space.
Because Donald Trump, he wrote cryptically in all caps on his Truth Social network last night, the words, "And so it begins," which almost sounds like a declaration of war. We heard Mamdani directly address Trump there in his victory speech. How can we expect the US president then to respond to the new mayor of New York?
Well, we know what Donald Trump does. He's going to smear the new mayor of New York at every opportunity that he gets. I think that that approach has limits. And I say that particularly in the context that Democrats have clearly learned some lessons over the past year and a half, even as they've fought it out within the party about its direction. And that is, when they nominate moderates in places like New Jersey and Virginia, which they did, people who don't constantly talk about threats to democracy or get bogged down on the culture war agenda, they can win in those places. And that is going to be a very difficult problem for Republicans as the midterms approach. If Democrats do take that pragmatic approach, if they say, look, we're a big tent, the one message might work in New York City, another message might work across the country, that's going to be a difficult one for Republicans to address unless and until the price of goods and services and the economy improve, which at the moment, again, affordability is a huge issue in the United States.
What are the results last night, Larry, in New York and also in Virginia and New Jersey, where the Democrats won the two governor's seats there? What do they tell us about the prospects for the Democrats going into the midterms?
They tell us that if they pivot, if they pivot sharply, if they message accordingly, based on where they are, that they can do very well. I mean, history is on their side. This is Trump's second term. The opposite party should do well in the midterms. What a lot of Democrats have expressed fear about is that they've let the perfect be the enemy of the good. That is, they've had so many dogmatic people on the hard left that they're not, you know, that they can't win in some places in middle America, even though they should. If they pivot adroitly and nominate candidates who can win across the country, which ranges from people like Zohran and Mamdani to conservative Democrats in red states, then they can and should do very well next year. But watch that space and watch how Trump and the Republicans pivot in response.
Did the Republicans leave the goal open, though, for the Democrats, especially, you know, with the length of the government shutdown and not sorting that out before these elections? Was that just, I mean, swaying voters towards the Democrats at a time when some of those voters are really under pressure financially?
Absolutely. I think that was obviously a big factor in Virginia, where there's an awful lot of federal government employees. I think that certainly worked against them. I think Republicans will also say perhaps the candidates, in particular the gubernatorial candidate in Virginia, perhaps left something to be desired on that front in terms of her strength. And also what they'll say is, and this is true, is that New York City obviously is very Democratic leaning. New Jersey is a blue state. Virginia is a blue-ish state. So that these are places where Democrats should have done well, especially in this sort of off-year election. But that having been said, Democrats, again, will take heart from the fact that they won races in places like Pennsylvania and in Georgia, which indicates, again, that they can appeal to a broader audience if they nominate candidates who are appealing to those audiences.
Larry, it's good to have your analysis this morning, and thank you. That's Larry Donnelly, political analyst, law lecturer at the University of Galway, and columnist with the journal.ie.